It's really a pleasure to spend this time with you and to share some principle, reflection, and suggestion on such a significant topic as time management. As Alan already said, we will have a first part in which I will share some content with you, as well as asking some input and feedback on your side as well. And then we will have plenty of time for your specific question at the end. Many of you already submitted the question, and I want to thank you very much for that. It has been really helpful for me to review those questions before tonight. I try to incorporate an answer to most of the questions in the main content I will show you. But if you want me to focus more on your question or speak about something that is not in my main content, feel free to submit your question at the end. Before jumping into the specific theme we are going to explore tonight, I would like to spend a couple of minutes to reflect on the reasons of this workshop. Why spending an hour and a half of our time, while we all have everything, every other things to do, on the topic of time management? More specifically, why do we need to use our time well? I would like to ask for your reflection on this. So I'm going to leave you a couple of minutes now to open the chat and briefly write your reply, your answer to this important question, even with just a couple of words. Why do we need to use our time well? What's your answer to this? Reflecting on why we do something may not always be easy, but it's always beneficial, since it creates a proper foundation for what we are doing. Let me open the chat and read your insight on this. Time is one of the most precious and finite resources than there is. It's a gift from God. It's a limited resource. We are given a limited amount. Yeah, this is a really good starting point. Our days, as we read in the Psalms, are numbered. To be efficient, to be effective, time is short, life is short. We don't want to waste it. Our life is measured in time. Thank you, Chris. This is a really interesting point. We couldn't spend all the workshop just reflecting on this, but I won't do that. Non-renewable resource. We need to get to the important things, to glorify God. Thank you, Evelyn, for pointing us to that. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing. And there's another one. I want to read it. Time in life goes very fast, like the Bible says. Yeah. Because so the cerebral faculty became positive and not fixed to evil think processes. Wow. God arranged everything he does in time. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Even if you didn't write in the chat or are still writing, I hope that reflecting a bit on this question may be useful to you. I just want to add one more biblical answer to this question, something we probably don't think of so much. In Ephesians 5, we read Paul writing, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time." And the reason? Because the days are evil. This is a strong reason. Isn't it? Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. I think it may refer to the last days, or it may refer to the evil in the world. This is probably what the context suggests. Or it may even refer to the limitedness of time. I won't do an exegesis on this verse tonight, but I think we need to pay attention to this, to remember this principle. The days we are living are evil. And this is a strong reason we find in the Bible to make the best use of our time. How can we do that? How can we use this limited and precious resource. A good starting point definitely is having clear priorities. First things first. This is quite a well-known way of saying, and actually it's also the title of a book of a famous author on time management. I know that sometimes understanding our priorities in the specific season of life we find ourselves may not be easy. I acknowledge and I leave myself this challenge, but this is not the main topic of our workshop. We can spend some time, if you like, in the Q&A time at the end. But what do I want to explore with you tonight is how to make our priorities happen daily. How can we really use our time on what is best, on what is more valuable? And this can be a real challenge too. And honestly speaking, this is my challenge. I often know what I need to do. I know what would be more valuable for my work, for my ministry, for my family. But there are days or even weeks I do struggle to spend my time on them. And sometimes, I should be honest, I do have the time, but I spend the time on less valuable things. Why does this happen? Why the clarity on what are the most important things and the willingness to spend our time on them is not enough? The reason is in how we do function as human beings. I know this is a very broad theme, but let me just briefly explain this key concept that will serve as a foundation for all that we are going to see tonight. As humans, we are responsive beings. In other words, we do not act in a vacuum. As I try to show you with this image, our actions, what we do, and so also how we use our time, is not only a result of our intentions, our will, but we also act in response to external stimulus, what we see, what we hear, what we feel from the external world around us. And it's also a response to our personal condition, our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual state. And these two are actually connected. This is explained very well in this book that I really recommend. External pressures are significant, but they only lead to sin because of our sinful desires. In other words, external pressures impact on our behavior via our hearts. And this is the point. This is well explained in Proverbs 4:23 that we probably all know. The heart is the very center of our being. And we are encouraged to guard it and to be aware that our heart, that is the center, is responsive to external stimulus and to our personal condition. What I'm telling here is true in every area of our life, in our decision, in our big things, our life, and it's true in time management as well. This is the basis. This is the foundation of what I am going to tell you tonight on this topic. Since we are responsive beings, we must be aware there are many factors that influence our productivity. There are factors that influence the things we do and how we do them. Some of them have a positive influence. They help us on spending time on our priorities, while some others have a negative influence. They hinder us. They prevent us to spend the time on what is really more important. That's the reason I often say when I speak on this topic that time management is not just time management. If we want to use our time well, we need to manage those other factors as well. Firstly, by knowing them, being aware of them, and then by implementing personal practices and tools that can help maximize their positive impact and minimize their negative one. What I want to do tonight is talking briefly about four of these factors. I know there may be others that I won't cover. You can mention them in the question if you like, but these four are the ones I found the most significant in my experience and in the experience of the people I've been working with or had relationship with. The first factor that influences our productivity is attention. The ability to concentrate, to focus on someone or something. The importance of where we do put our focus, where we put our mind and eyes, is a clear principle in the Bible. Let me just read a couple of verses for you. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. As Christians, we are encouraged to focus on Jesus in heaven, because the direction of our gaze determines the direction of our path. This is a very important principle. The direction of our gaze, where we put our focus, what we see with our physical and spiritual eyes, determines the direction of our path, where we go, what we do. This principle is true in every area of our life, of course, from our big goals, decisions, and projects to the smaller things in everyday life. Let me just give you a practical example. I think this has happened to many of us. Tuesday morning, you were in your office, you were working on next Sunday's sermon or on a new project for your organization, and you decided to just quickly check your inbox or the notification on your smartphone. And then you got that message, an urgent request or simply something very interesting. And you got back to your task, to your priority of the day, maybe only minutes, if not hours after, because you were distracted by that message. Attention has a powerful impact on how we use our time. And we need to consider that managing our focus and attention has become more and more difficult since most of our activities and communication have become digital in the recent years. This is a really broad theme. We are different, as the polls showed. We have different needs, different roles, different work habits. But there's a general principle I want to share with you. What I do want is recommending you to protect as much as possible your attention, because it's a valuable resource. And because it has a tremendous impact on what we do and how we do the task we are performing. My suggestion is to choose carefully for what and from who you really need to be disturbed when you are working, studying, or talking with a friend or a family member. Just a question. Do you really need to see that message as soon as it delivered to your inbox? Of course, you can fine-tune your system according to your needs. For example, as some of you already did, as I saw in the poll, you can set different notification rules for each app. You can also set a different notification for contacts, for devices. You can use no disturb mode when you want to focus specifically on a task and let only some calls reach you. You can set your ideal configuration. But the point I want to make now is pay attention to this factor, because it's much more important than we are usually used to think. I mentioned so far only external distraction, but there are also internal ones. Sometimes what distracts us from the task we are doing is an idea, the thought of something unfinished, something someone asked from us, or a situation that worries us. Just a brief suggestion I want to share with you on this. The first one, write it down. This is something so simple that you will find actually in all time management books. Write down ideas, requests, tasks in a simple and reliable system that becomes a clear inventory of the things you are committed or would like to do. Trust me, it's amazing how this can free your mind and make you able to focus more on what you are doing or on the person you are talking with. Second, and this is something you usually don't find in time management books, write it down and pray about it. One of the benefits of prayer, as we see in this text I'm quoting, is the peace of God in our minds, in our hearts, that also makes us able to focus on our task and relationships. A second factor that influences how we use our time is planning. I see here there are personalities more prone to planning and scheduling very tightly, and others will almost refuse planning since it may prevent spontaneity or taking advantages of opportunities. In my experience, I think that a proper and balanced planning can be very useful. And actually, it can help us spending our time on our priorities. Let me explain you how. Firstly, it is important to understand that there are two levels of planning. Firstly, defining what to do. Second, defining when to do it. When it happens, let's talk about defining what to do. When it happens that we don't make significant progress when we work on a project, the reason may be that we haven't clearly defined what we need to do. We haven't defined the specific next action to perform. Brainstorming, analyzing options, collecting information, talk to someone, write to someone, read the document. Planning can help when we are in this situation. We can use a simple list or a more sophisticated task management app to create not only a collection of unprocessed items, but clear reminders of what we need to make progress on that project. This is a very important thing. Having defined before, on the basis of the information we have, of course, what we will do when we will work on something, on a task, on a project, is incredibly effective. It helps us to have clarity, to start quickly, and to be more efficient. On the other hand, another situation, when it happens that we continually postpone a task that is not urgent, but important, it's a priority, we think like we aim to do as soon as possible. I will do that as soon as I can. But we find ourselves that week after week, this right time hasn't come yet. Planning can be useful. Don't wait for the time to spend your time actually on that priority. Make space in your calendar for that task. Deciding when and maybe also where you will do it actually help you actually spend your time on the task. On this, of course, we need to be cautious. We can't put everything in your calendar, in your agenda, without margin. We need to keep enough margin because things change, even priority may change. But what I want to suggest you here is that we can use our agenda, not for only for appointments with other people we may otherwise forget, but also for a meeting, let me say, with ourselves, to spend time on those important tasks we may tend to procrastinate, to postpone. I just want to mention on the theme of planning, a tool that can be really helpful in planning, the ideal week. The ideal week, I show you an example, a representation of the optimal distribution of our time on a weekly basis. This is ideal, of course. No week will be definitely exactly like this. But you can see this ideal week as a sort of grid that will actually help you manage your agenda, protect time for important tasks and relationship, and also make easier to say no to less important things. The slide of this workshop will be sent to you, as I said, so you can click on this link and download a simple model to create your ideal week. Third factor that influences our productivity, energy. I think this is very clear to all of us that when we are low energy, physical, emotional, or mental, we are definitely less efficient in what we do. It takes more time to do things. And we also struggle even to start doing some more challenging and important things. It definitely happens to me. On this topic, I want firstly to remember something so beautiful, that God knows our human weakness, our limited amount of energy. And that's why he designed a 6 days work week. Of course, we don't want to fall into legalism on this, but we want to remember that we need a proper time off regularly. And it's significant how Jesus himself was really sensitive to the need of rest for his disciples, especially after an intense season of this work, as in this text that I quote here. On this theme, it's useful to distinguish between what I call an overall level of energy and a variable level of energy. The overall level of energy is the average level of energy we have in a certain period of time, like a day or a week. This is the effect of what we actually did before, what we experienced in the past, in the previous days, weeks, and even months. The level of energy that I have in this specific moment depends on what I did today, but also on what I did yesterday, or even the last week. It's important to be aware of this level of energy, to adjust our expectation, our engagements, our schedule accordingly, and also to invest time to help this increase and maintain our energy level. Don't forget the importance in this of sleeping, nutrition, physical exercise. The idea of a variable level of energy reminds us of the fact that our energy changes during a day or a week. There's a natural cycle on a daily basis. This is called the circadian rhythm. According to it, it's normal that we have more energy, for example, in the morning, or more ability to focus. Some other people may be more focused and more motivated in the afternoon or even at night. Each one of us may have different cycles. But it's important to know these so that we can schedule accordingly. The tool I mentioned before can be useful in this as well. For example, how can we make sure that we keep a good overall energy by having adequate rest or doing physical exercise? For example, by defining how long we aim to sleep each night and when will we have our physical exercise workout session. It may happen that we need to go to bed later or miss a morning run, but if we have this clear schedule, it will be easier to realize that. To realize that we need some extra rest in the following days or reschedule our workout. Also, having understood our cycle of energy, we can put in this ideal schedule the most challenging and important task when we have more energy, and the other ones in the times where we are less productive. For example, I put in this sample ideal week sermon preparation user in the morning and maybe meetings or errands in the afternoon. That's the point. Schedule accordingly to our variable energy. Finally, last factors are network. The fact that other people influence us is a clear principle in the Bible. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Bad company ruins good morals. This is a very important principle. People around us can influence our values, our principle, what we think is important or not, and also our productivity, how we use our time. And they do that also having an effect on the other factors we have seen so far. Let me give you an example considering a colleague, but the same may be true, of course, with friends, relatives, or bosses. A colleague can help you stay focused on your priorities. For example, by asking you how your projects are going, by offering you help, by avoiding interruption when you are working on that project. A colleague can help you planning and follow your plan by sending you, for example, a clear request, by respecting the timeline, inform you in advance if it's getting late. A colleague can also boost or not your energy with his presence, with his words, with his attitude toward challenges and issues. And remember, this happens not only in the physical world, when we actually spend time with a person, like in an office or in a meeting, but we are influenced also from all that we read, listen, or see in the digital world. What can we do about this? Of course, we know as Christians that we are called to love all people without distinction, to be at peace with each other. And also, there are situations we can change, at least in the short term. But even with this limitation, we can choose. We can choose intentionally the people we want to spend more or less time with, according to our priority and goals. We may ask ourselves, what can really help me in this project? What can give me encouragement and strength? Whose presence can help me be more productive in this task? The answer to this question may bring us to make significant change in our lives. Maybe it can affect the meeting you decide to attend or the place you actually do your work. And maybe also the people you decide to follow on social media. A final word before the final Q&A time. As you may have noticed, I am passionate about productivity. But I'm also aware, firstly for myself, what I call the productivity trap. The tendency to do more and more, to increase our efficiency, to do more, but losing efficacy, forgetting what is really valuable and important. This is a risk I'm really aware of for myself. I want to share two stories from the Gospel of Luke that are very significant to ponder on this. Firstly, story of Martha, Luke 10. Martha was hyper-productive. in serving Jesus and his disciples. But at a certain point, Jesus needed to tell her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." And the second story, the story of the rich man in the parable, Luke 12. Again, another hyperproductive and successful man. But at a certain point in his life, God himself said, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" As you may notice, these two texts ends with a reference to a moment in the future when something will be taken away and something will remain, won't be taken away. There's a powerful question we can ask ourselves as we evaluate how we are using our time. What will remain at the end of this season? What won't be taken away at the end of this season in our life? Of all that I am doing, of all that I think I am committed to, of all the things I am spending my time on, what will remain? What will people remember? What will leave a legacy, an impact? If you are a student, what will remain at the end of these university years? If you are maybe a new appointed pastor, what will remain of your ministry in the church? If you have small children, what will remain when your kids will be grown up, will be adult? If you are working hard for a big event, for a big project, what will remain after it is completed? What will remain? May God give you and give all of us the wisdom to understand what is really important. And may God also give us the strength, the ability, maybe the courage to do the right things and to use at our best the time he gives us. This is the end. In the slide, we'll also find some suggested readings and also my email address and my phone number. I will try now to reply at my best your question, but if you still have a question, if you want other suggestion, maybe something will came to your mind in a week or in a month, feel free to write me and text me. I will be more than happy to help you.